Friends, what a beautiful thing presence is. What a beautiful thing presence is. It is free, it is tangible, it is real. I have just returned from India. These days I go to India like you go to Sam's Club and come back. I went to see my mother, who was simply not bouncing back after she got a pacemaker. And I was with her just for 7 days. When I first saw her, I found her better than I'd anticipated, but not as good as when I had seen her in January. And truly, the credit goes to my brother, who really has nursed her back to as much health as she can. But in spite of all the care she got, she needed to see me. And really, as much as she needed to see me, I needed to see her. And I cannot tell you the good that simply being with each other for 7 days has done both for her and for me. The thing is that when I left 7 days later, she was better than she was the 7 days back when I had first seen her. What a beautiful thing presence is. Nothing heals, nothing comforts, and nothing reassures more than human presence, human closeness, human touch. It's better than any medicine you can give to anybody. Presence. So I want to approach today's gospel reading of Jesus' encounter with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus from the perspective of presence. So here are my 3 points that I would like to reflect on. So the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were moving away from Jerusalem. And it's a very important detail because they were moving at that moment from the center of the world. And I call it the center of the world because salvation was just revealed in Jerusalem. They were confused. They were confounded, they were scattered, and as Luke tells us, they were downcast. But suddenly, ever so smoothly, ever so gently, Jesus becomes present to them. And I want us to focus on the value of this presence from every angle possible. You see, in that moment, as they were leaving town, as they were trying to make sense of it all, as they were confounded, confused, and downcast, Jesus becomes present. They did not recognize him or realize it for a bit, but Jesus becomes present. And that presence became the difference between despair and hope, between moving forward or backward, between living or giving up. That presence, that was the key. It made all the difference. So if there is something that we should take to heart today, it is this, that no matter where we find ourselves, and each one of us is in a different place. I'm in a very different place than you are. Each one of us is in a very different place than every other person, but no matter where we find ourselves at this moment, Christ is present to us. Sometimes in ways we are already familiar, and sometimes in ways in which we do not expect. Sometimes through someone with whom we are close, and sometimes as a stranger, Christ is present. So today I have one prayer folks, that no matter where we find ourselves in life, may we find Christ right there. That none of us feels abandoned or alone. That both in the midst of our deepest despair and our greatest joys, we may always know that Christ is present. Secondly, I'm not only touched by the reality that Christ is present to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, but I'm equally touched by the way in which Jesus is present. You see, these days there is a lot of emphasis on the upcoming synod that's going to happen in the church, which calls the church to be a listening church. The story of Jesus joining the downcast disciples on the road to Emmaus can be read as a great model for a listening church. First, Christ meets them where they are. He does not present to them, when they meet, a certain standard to fulfill or a certain expectation to fulfill. Nothing. He simply meets them where they are, downcast. Secondly, Jesus listens. He asks them the question, what is going on? And they talk, and he listens. But it's a certain kind of listening. It's listening without condemning. It's offering hope without compelling, and giving direction without imposing. It's beautiful, I think. Now, I understand that sometimes we feel that the church is not a listening church. It is as if there are always standards to reach and conditions to fulfill before we are included. It feels like that. And I believe that the Jesus with the disciples on the road to Emmaus is a model for a listening church and a synodal church. If Jesus met the disciples where they were, so must the church. If Jesus became present to the confused, confounded, and downcast disciples, if Jesus sat down to eat with them and broke bread with them, so must the church. A listening church is a church that meets people where they are. Having talked about the church, let's also talk about ourselves for a little bit. When was the last time we made time to listen, like you and I? Are there people in our homes, our work, our parish, who wish that we would listen more and better? Would your spouse say that you are a listening spouse? Would your children say that you are a listening parent? And children, would your parents say that you are children who listen? Would you say that I'm a listening pastor? Are we truly present to one another? Do we meet people where they are? Do we listen without condemning, offer hope without compelling, and give directions without imposing? Christ is a model, not only for the church that has to be synodal, but for all of us as people in the community. And finally, the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus is filled with what I'm calling intrigue and mystery. Christ is with them, but they only saw a stranger. He opened the scriptures to them, but they still do not fully understand. Their hearts were burning, but they did not know why. But the most intriguing and mysterious moment is the breaking of the bread. And let's picture this for a moment. The two disciples and Jesus get to the supper table. And they're about to break bread. And just as they did, he vanishes. Now, can you imagine for a moment these two disciples? What in the world just happened? And here is the climax of the intrigue and mystery. He vanished from their sight, but in that vanishing, he becomes ever more present. That's the beauty of it all. Because he's not the incarnated Christ anymore, he's the resurrected Christ. He's got to vanish. But that vanishing becomes the very moment of his enduring presence. And then they recognize him. They said, "Now we know why our hearts were burning." That was him. Folks, we are at the breaking of the bread. This is our moment of intrigue and mystery. We call it a sacrament. We call it the Eucharist. He's not in our sight because he's not here in his incarnated presence. But he is present in the breaking of the bread, in his resurrected presence. In the breaking of the bread, in the Eucharist, in the sacrament, in this moment filled with intrigue and mystery, we encounter Christ's enduring presence. So I began my homily by saying that presence is beautiful. And I said that it is free, it is tangible, it is real. Nothing heals, nothing comforts, nothing reassures like presence. Today, that presence is here with us in our breaking of the bread. Christ is present to us. Let us be present to him. People of God said,